Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Hope you've had a really great Friday so far, and I'm looking forward to a good weekend. Well, here's a loaded question, and I'm telling you, it's a loaded question. Are you ready? Do you have a dysfunctional relationship with food? Do you have a dysfunctional relationship with food? I mean, who doesn't to some degree, it seems, right? Well, my guest today is Asherita Chuchu. She joins me to celebrate her book, Full, Food, Jesus, and the Battle for Satisfaction. And wow, what she had to share was so insightful. I think you're going to want to stick around for this whole interview and hear what she has to say. Well, a couple quick announcements before we get to my conversation with Asherita is, one, we just finished our Fall Share event yesterday. And I'm just in awe, and I just want to say thank you for your kindness, for your grace, for your generosity, for your otherworldly perspective. I'm telling you, the friends who stepped up and said, count me in, I want to be part of something that's bigger than me, I just honor that. I respect that so much. And we pray for you. We pray that God will bless you in health and in finances and relationships and in vocation. And you just got to know that God moves. When we move on faith, when we sow seeds, God moves and he multiplies. So I'm praying with all my heart that you would see God's movement in your life and you would see his multiplication at work in your life. And of course, we don't give to get, but you can't outgive God. No matter what you think, he has a bigger shovel. And once you start to get into that sweet spot of living out of his love, living out of his resources, and sowing generously, you start to see that he's a more than generous God. And I'm just praying that for you, that you would, every which way you turn, see provision that you did not expect because you dared to step up and say, count me in. Can't thank you enough. So one more time. Thank you. Also want to just give a shout out. If you are new to the family, new to the Faith Radio family, wanting you to know that we're so glad to have you be part of the family. Maybe you're listening in on one of our newer signals, our newer FM signals, 94.1 and FM in Hartford or 93.1 FM in Waterloo. Oh, let's see, 104.7 FM in Madison or one of our two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 or 97.5 FM, or maybe you're streaming online. No matter where you're listening from, we're glad to have you with us. We're grateful for the honor to encourage you in your faith. It really is our great, great honor. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Asherita Chuchu is a writer, speaker, and recovered food addict. She grew up as a missionary kid in Romania, witnessed God change the lives of drunkards, gamblers, and swindlers, forever marking her with the power of the gospel. I can't wait to hear about Asherita's story. I can't wait for you to meet her. Welcome to the show, dear girl. So glad to have you with us today.
Susie, thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we love to start every conversation talking scripture, and you chose really one of my go-to passages, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life and life abundantly. That's Jesus' words to us. Talk to us about that passage, what it means to you.
Yeah, another translation of that same passage is life abundantly or life to the full. And that's where the title for this book came. What does it look like to live lives that are full? You know, so often, I think people who struggle with food one way or another, we can overeat and we have that feeling in our stomachs of having been too full. But the irony in our relationship with Jesus is the more we feast on him, the more we hunger for him. Mm-hmm. And yet there's that sense of fullness that permeates all of life. And just such a beautiful picture to see how that works out in food, where the enemy would come to steal and kill and destroy, how Jesus can restore that and give us freedom and fullness in that place. So that's just been an anchor passage for me in this journey.
Wow. Asherita, that's really a great parallel, because when you eat to absolute fullness, we bog up our systems, we slow down, we're not even able to break the food down, and we feel miserable. But when we're feasting on the fullness of God, that fullness, it's a perpetual life spring in us. And, I mean, it's a totally different feeling, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, give us a little background, a backstory on your faith journey and on your relationship with food.
Yeah, so this could take up the whole hour, so
yeah.
I'll make it short. My parents were missionaries to Romania, to the Gypsies, and I grew up on the mission field just watching how the Lord took men and women who were lost in darkness and in sin, drunkards and gamblers, and men who would beat their wives, and women who would be unfaithful to their husbands, and just transform their lives and their communities with the gospel. And people just doing a complete 180 when they discovered the grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to die not just for white people, but for them as well, just falling on their knees in the streets and receiving salvation.
Wow.
And that marked me as a child to realize the gospel is powerful and God is living and active in our day and age. And so from a very young age, I realized that God wants to be involved that way in each of our lives. So as I grew and matured in this missionary family, God has been just so gracious to guide my steps. And I met my soon-to-be husband, well, not so soon, my husband in fifth grade in camp. And then we went to college together at Cedarville University, and I majored in English and women's ministry. Just the passion to reach women with the truth of the gospel. But it wasn't until my first daughter's first birthday, we had a very hungry caterpillar-themed birthday party. And it was lovely. Everyone was super nice. But we were tearing down decorations in the garage, and I was bringing stuff in. And I sat down. We had this caterpillar-shaped cake. And I set it down at my kitchen sink, and I grabbed a fork full of cake, and one became two and three bites, and I only had a few bites left to finish the row, so I might as well finish it off. And then I went out and grabbed more decorations and then came back in, and I gravitated toward that cake like a moth to open flame. And Susie, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I found myself at the sink over the cake, fork midair, stuffing cake in my mouth and wondering, what am I doing? Why am I still eating? I'm not hungry. You know, I've long passed that point of feeling full. I'm not sad or angry. Like, everyone was lovely. Why am I still eating this cake? Why can't I control my eating? And that for me was a wake-up moment when I realized that food had gained mastery over my life, and I was a slave to my appetite. And so God graciously had me on this journey. There were ups and downs. I went from that type of food fixation to an unhealthy obsession with healthy eating. psychologists call it orthorexia, an obsession with healthy eating. And I tried all kinds of diets and healthy food fads. And I lost weight, but my husband and my mom commented that I was so obsessed and preoccupied and fixated on every bite that went into my mouth. And I realized that that had gained mastery over me in a different way. And this is where, you know, I come back to John 10:10. This was not life to the full. It was a life of slavery and of fixation. And finally, I fell to my knees and I said, Lord, I need you to set me free. I need you to show me the way, because I can't figure this out on my own. And so that journey is what I share about in the book Full.
Well, I love that you shared about both aspects of your story, because one of the things I wanted you to talk about is the two extremes that work in our culture today. So we've got on one end of the spectrum an unhealthy addiction to food, and on the other spectrum an unhealthy fixation on healthy food. So I want you maybe to describe a little bit more what an unhealthy food addiction looks like. I mean, of course, any addiction is unhealthy, but I'm talking an addiction to unhealthy food versus an unhealthy fixation on actually food that's good for you. Because I think those on the right side, on that other side where they're so fixated on healthy eating, think everybody else needs to get on board with them. But what they don't realize is it almost becomes a cult-like existence. Like, they measure everybody's status and even measure of faith on how well they perform on this one thing. So speak to both sides of this, if you would.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that out. I think the first, like, it's like a pendulum swing. I think the one side is easy to recognize because we've seen it a lot, and it manifests itself often physically in excessive, like, weight gain. But if you ever tell yourself, like, oh, I'm going to eat this and, you know, eat whatever I want, and then I'll start my diet tomorrow. Or if you've ever tried to give up certain unhealthy foods, but you feel like you can't live without them. Or if you eat whatever you crave, regardless of whether it's good for you or not, those are some indicators of comfort food fixation is what I call it, where we run to food for comfort. But the other end of that pendulum swing is something that I don't think we talk about enough, and I'm seeing more and more of it in our culture where, you know, maybe friends have told us that we take our healthy eating too seriously, or you think less of people, like you mentioned, who don't value healthy eating as much as you do, or don't value the types of foods that you do, where food becomes a separator and a divider instead of something that brings people together in unity. Or whether, you know, how closely you follow your eating plan affects whether you feel good or bad about yourself, where food becomes your identifier. It has this mastery over you and your identity. Those are all things that can indicate an unhealthy fixation or obsession with food. And I actually have an assessment in the back of the book and online where you can kind of answer these 10 questions and score and see if you have an unhealthy relationship with food on either side of that pendulum swing. Help us think of it in terms of that.
Well, I appreciate that so very much, because we really want to strike a balance here, and I think you've done that. And again, it goes back to the idea where Jesus says things are proven ripe by their fruit. And if the fruit of the unhealthy fixation on healthy food is judgment, pride, separation, exclusivity, that's something to look at. And on the flip side, if you're just constantly obsessed with just, if that's your comfort, that's your source, and Jesus isn't, something to look at as well. When we come back, Asherita, I would love for you to speak to the idea that food has really become the drug of choice in the church, you know, because it looks better than, let's say, an alcohol addiction, a porn addiction. But it's a problem, and there are ripple effects to having a food addiction. We're going to talk about that on the other side. I want you to know that we've got 5 copies of Asherita's book, thanks to Moody Publishers. The title is Full, Food, Jesus, and the Battle for Satisfaction. Email me if you want in on the drawing. 5 copies, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Put full or something like that in the subject line. Remember, Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E, and we will be back in a minute. Today we're talking about how to break free from that battle of food addiction, you know, the battle for satisfaction where you turn to food again and again for comfort, or on the flip side, you're so obsessed with your healthy diet that it becomes this dividing line between you and other people. Talking to Asherita Chuchu today, don't you love that name? Title of her book is Full, Food, Jesus, and the Battle for Satisfaction. Thanks to Moody Publishers, we've got 5 copies of this very balanced, great book. Email me if you want in on the drawing, and if you've got a question for Asherita, you can include that in the email as well. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please don't forget your mailing address. And Asherita, I set this question up before the break. Love for you to speak to it, but it does seem, and maybe this is just stating the obvious, but that food is the drug of choice among church going people, among Christians, because it seems more acceptable than, of course, an addiction to alcohol or porn. But it's still very damaging, and people are dying from obesity related illnesses in epidemic numbers. So speak to that if you would.
Yeah, Susie, I remember when I was researching different studies for this book, I found one by Northwestern University that said that young adults who regularly attend church are 50% more likely than their peers to be obese by the time they reach middle age. 50% more likely within our churches. And I think that says something about our church culture. You know, you mentioned, yeah, alcohol or drugs or pornography. These are things that I think have been spoken against plentifully in the pulpit and in magazines and in our church teaching, and as they should be. But food, you can't just give it up. And I think that's the tension point. You know, any of those things, there's a clear-cut line that, you know, if you go to, you know, maybe alcohol would be the closest example, though, you know, there are churches who completely reject alcohol because of even the temptation to get drunk. But you can't just not eat,
mm-hmm.
which I think is where the tension is with food fixation. But I remember, you know, studying the scripture and seeing this passage where Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And when I understood that that passage wasn't just talking exclusively about wine, but about any substance that controls our bodies, it can be wine, it can be drugs, it can be sugar, it can be Diet Coke, it can be Twinkies, it can be green smoothies, it can be anything that controls our hearts and our affections, our devotion. The opposite of that is to be filled with the Spirit. And there again is that picture of fullness and being filled and indwelled by the presence of God. I heard from a pastor who shared with me that there was someone in his congregation who had been diabetic for 15 years, but he continued to eat whatever he wanted because he would just take more insulin to offset whatever he ate. And that man sadly died an early death, which could have been prevented, or at least his life, with healthy eating choices, he could have had more time with his family here on earth to live out the mission that God had given him. But food had gained mastery over his heart and life to a point where it clouded his discernment and wisdom. And I've been in that place before. I don't speak from a place of judgment or condemnation because I was there with my caterpillar cake. I get it. I understand it is an addiction. It is a fixation. But the truth of the scripture is that Jesus can set us free.
Amen.
And he wants to set us free.
He wants to set us free. And yet we've got to come to a place where we admit that we need to be set free. And we've got to have a want to. And I just think that if you don't want to, let your prayer be, Lord, I don't want to. Help me want to. Because the same is said about, you know, statins and meds for cholesterol. You hear all the time people who just, you know, they get their statin to bring their cholesterol down and they don't change anything with their personal diet. Mm-hmm. And we address this on the show quite often that you got to take some personal responsibility here. And, I want you to talk just for a moment. You said you did the Whole 30, and that's the big craze right now. And I've been reading a bit about that. And I've had some friends who've had great success, but what I hear across the board and what they actually write about in the material is that you're going to get cranky. Because if you're breaking the sugar addiction, you're going to see a personality change. It has to get worse before it gets better. And I couldn't help but chuckle a little bit when that sort of happened for you, just because your coworkers had said, you know, where'd Asherita go? Where is she? And I mean, but talk about your experience and what that told you about what was going on in your body.
Let me preface this by saying that I believe food is a good gift from God, from a good father, and it's meant to turn our hearts to him in worship. I'm not the camp that says that blacklist food. I think there is a time and a place for a scrumptious lemon blueberry scone.
Amen.
but having said that, in my own life and experience, I have seen how sugar mastered me. And it wasn't until I did that sugar elimination diet, and the Whole 30 has this whole thing of what you can and can't eat, but it was the sugar component that got me. And I didn't even realize how dependent I was on that daily sugar fix to keep me going in my quote-unquote normal until I removed sugar. It was a coworker who had been a pastor, and he said, Asherita, this is like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You are a completely different person than who I usually work with. And that was a sobering moment for me to say, Lord, okay, what is it about sugar that has me enslaved this way? And I want you to set me free. And ironically, it wasn't the Whole 30 that did it for me. And I have friends who have done that and have had great results, and I'm happy for them. God uses different things in our lives. But for me, it was a few months later when I undertook a 40-day sugar fast. And that for me was a purposeful commitment, not just to change my diet and what I'm eating or to lose weight, but to say, God, I surrender this to you. I have read in the Psalms where David said, because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I will be satisfied with you as with the richest foods. And time and time again, he talks about how God is so much better than anything he could eat. And I didn't resonate with that. I had grown up in a Christian family. I loved Jesus with my whole heart. But could I say that I loved him more than chocolate cake? It sounds silly, but after a hard day, I would rather run to the fridge than I would run to my knees. And so I read where Jesus would say in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, they shall be made full. There's that concept of, again, of being full. And so I said, Lord, I surrender this sugar to you for 40 days. Take it away and show me that you really are enough, that you can meet my deepest need, even when my comfort food is taken away, when my drug of choice is taken away. Will you meet me there in that deepest place?
So beautiful, Asherita. And, you know, I pray you know that I wasn't chuckling at your misfortune, but chuckling because just yesterday my son said one of his best buddies did the whole 30, and he goes, it turned out to be a whole 12 because he got so cranky.
Yeah.
Everybody in his life's like, go back on the food. But, you know, we've got about a minute and a half left, but and I'd love for you to pick this answer up on the other side. But I want to know how God did meet you and what were the side effects of getting rid of sugar in those 40 days. I'll jump in, but go ahead and speak to just some of the physical side effects and then how spiritually God met you.
Yeah, really quick. I mean, there's headaches, lightheadedness, cravings. I couldn't focus. There was this nice lady who brought cupcakes to work that day, and I felt like I wanted to punch her, even though I'd never been physically violent. But it just feels like your whole world is falling apart because that substance that you have been clinging to is gone. But spiritually, God met me by saying, I am enough, and choosing to turn some sugar to him. It actually physically rewires the way our brains function. And when that repetitive habit of running to sugar and we change that to running to Jesus, it fosters a physical transformation that leads to a spiritual transformation. That is just so, so powerful.
Boy, that is so good. And Asherita, when we come back, I want to delve a little bit more into your 40-day fast from sugar because we're getting a lot of emails and I can tell people are really resonating with this topic. But I want to know what that exactly included. Again, some of your physical side effects and some of the ways God strengthened you as you went and then what you felt like coming out of that fast. And then how you managed after that. That's just for starters. I got a lot more questions like that. 5 copies of Asherita's book, Full Food Jesus and the Battle for Satisfaction. Email me, Susie, that's S-U-S-I-E, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your question if you've got one. Otherwise, remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Asherita Chuchu. Don't you just love that name? She's authored the book Full, Food, Jesus, and the Battle for Satisfaction. And if you just tuned in, this is when you want to go back and catch the whole show. We'll have it up in podcast form after the live show. But at the beginning of the show, we addressed the two extremes, unhealthy extremes, an addiction to food where you turn to food for comfort. But the other unhealthy extreme is this obsession with healthy eating. And if you listen often enough, you know I am a proponent of healthy eating, especially given the recent health challenges I've had. And we have Dr. Troy on once a month. But he would even agree that when you obsess over healthy eating to the degree that you feel prideful and judgmental about those who don't eat like you do, that fruit doesn't come from the vine. There's something wrong with that mindset or a conspiracy mindset of everybody's out to, you know, get our food. Anyway, just be really careful about that. But right now we're addressing the food addiction and its hold on us. And Asherita, before the break, you talked about what really set you free was a 40-day fast from sugar. First of all, just give us some tangibles on what your diet looked like, and then maybe talk a bit more about just what you went through physically as you kind of banished sugar from your body and broke free of that addiction.
Yeah, so some of, like, I guess the technical parts of it is for 40 days, I said no to sugar in any refined form. And I actually joined a community of women who were doing this for the second time. Well, the first time I did it, it was the first time. And this past year, it was the third annual 40-day sugar fast. We had over 5,000 women join us in this. And it's not just a diet. It is a means of worship. There's a way of saying, God, I love you more than my sugar fix. And so I'm going to give up a good gift because I want to hunger for you more. So for me, that was no refined sugars. I still allowed maple syrup and honey in my diet because the point was for me to wean myself off of sugar as my drug of choice. And we had talked about, you know, some of those physical symptoms of withdrawal. And those first few days can be really, really hard. And one of the practical things is to just get it out of the house, like empty your house of anything that would tempt you during that fasting period, whether it's 10 days or 20 days or 40 days, however long it is. But also prepare spiritually. I think a lot of us in the American church haven't had very in-depth experiences with fasting, but it's a spiritual discipline that Jesus tells his disciples is part of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. You know, when the groom is taken, then they will fast. And it's something that is part of what it means to worship Jesus and to experience his power to set us free from things that would take us captive. So in preparing our hearts to fast, it's helpful to keep in mind that food is not the enemy. We're not fasting from something because that is necessarily bad in and of itself. Again, I believe food is a good gift from a good father meant to turn our hearts to him in worship. It's when food becomes our idol that it becomes dangerous. And so fasting, we turn our hearts toward Jesus and say, Lord, examine my heart. Know my ways. See if there is any undesirable way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And Corrie Ten Boom has this beautiful quote where she says, you can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. Mm-hmm. And in a fast, we voluntarily place ourselves in a position of saying, you are all I need and you are all I have. And so would you meet me in this place of desperate need?
Boy, that's just beautiful, and the Lord obviously met you. Then what did you do after the 40-day fast? How did you integrate again? Did you just sort of put maybe a tighter rein on your sugar consumption?
Yeah, so before I jump to the after, I wanted to mention some of the transformations that took place during the fast. And I mentioned that, like, physical rewiring of our brain, which I'm not a medical expert. I'm not going to go into that. But I know that, you know, this neurological pathways can be transformed, but it also affects our hearts and our spirits as well. And so when we take thoughts captive, you know, a section of the book, I address 10 lies that we believe about food. Like, if a little bit is good, then a lot is better. Or I absolutely need to finish everything on my plate. Or if I don't eat this, then she'll be offended, and so I'm going to eat it to make her feel better. And during the course of the fast, I had plenty of opportunities to see, you know, what are the thought patterns that would typically drive me to eat these trigger foods, and then to examine them with scripture. And being in, I guess, this confine of a fast where I had said no, I'm a black and white person, it's a whole lot easier for me to say no and not have anything at all than to say, okay, I'm only going to have a little bit. And so that fasting period was the training ground for me to rewire the way I think, to take thoughts captive and make them submissive to Jesus Christ so that his words reign in my mind. So that after the fast, I did allow sugar back into my life. But I set parameters around it. That first year, some of the parameters were, I'm not going to eat sugar when I'm by myself because I'm more likely to binge when I'm by myself. But when I'm with my husband or with someone else, that's a built-in safeguard for me. Or even saying something like, you know, I'm going to allow food to be a good gift and use it in celebration once a week and really look forward to this treat I'm going to have one time a week. And then the rest of the time, it's a non-issue. I allow Jesus to fill that need in me. And I don't want to give the false impression that I've arrived. Mm-hmm. You know, that first 40-day sugar fast was 3 years ago. And every year I do it, it's a spiritual reset for me. It's kind of a marker of, you know, here's true north. You know, have I deviated from that throughout the year? Mm-hmm. And it brings me back full circle to say, yes, Lord, this is how much I want you. As much as I want that salted caramel truffle or that donut or whatever it is, Lord, this much I want. I want to want you. And even if you're in that place, and I just want to speak with every listener, if you're in a place where you say, I don't think I could ever give up my morning latte or my Diet Coke or my ice cream bowl at night, be honest with God. He can take it. It's okay to say, God, I honestly don't want you more than I want that sugar fix. But would you help me to want you? I want to want you. Meet me in that place of need. And he is faithful and just. And as you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And he will give you the strength that you need to take that first step.
Boy, that's so good. And just, we're going to talk here about some of the spiritual components of, you know, the enemy does, you think the enemy doesn't care? He cares a lot mm-hmm. about what we're addicted to and what's affecting even our wiring, our neurological and our brain wiring. And just, I'm thinking for that person listening going, you know, I'm not really drawn to sweets, so this doesn't apply to me. You can have a very strong sugar addiction in the way of breads because you got the carbohydrates yeah. that are breaking down to sugars. So even if you're not gravitating towards desserts, you will really notice it if you try to cut that back and see what happens. But you write this. You said, Satan will use whatever tool he can to distract people from seeking satisfaction in God. And if money, sex, or power don't hold any sway over you, then French fries or skinny chocolate lattes just might. And really, this is a spiritual battle. Explain why the enemy cares what we eat.
That's a great question. And that's really how I start this whole conversation in the book. Because we do have an enemy. It comes back again to John 10:10. The enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does that with food in our lives. He steals our peace when we keep wondering about, like, what am I going to eat? What's for dinner? What's for lunch? Or we feel guilty over what we just ate. He steals our health when we fill ourselves with foods that are junk and that slow down our metabolism and we're not able to work and worship the way God created us to. He kills, he destroys. I could go on and on mm-hmm. in just that verse. But Paul tells us that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And our enemy is not flesh and blood. They're not people that we see, but principalities and powers of darkness. And the way that we fight this battle is not through the newest diet trend or the newest superfood or whatever researchers set out to discover. It's by putting on the armor of Christ. And one thing, just very practically, that I found helpful in the morning on this journey of food freedom is in the morning to get up and to put on the armor of God as it relates to my battle against food fixation. You know, the helmet of salvation, that no matter what I eat today and what I choose today, my salvation is firm and secure in Jesus Christ. The enemy cannot touch me because I'm firmly held in my Father's hand. The breastplate of righteousness, that Jesus Christ is my righteousness, that I don't have to try to perform or to meet a certain standard by the way that I eat, that pressure is off. And so when I approach food, it's from a place of grace because I have that breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. You know, it goes from head to toes, but especially the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When we learn to study scripture, to memorize it, to meditate on it, to use it in this battle against food fixation, it changes the game. I literally wrote out verses on little post-it notes and posted it on my fridge, Susie, in my pantry, in my car, where the secret stash of chocolate was. And I posted those verses to remind me that I'm not defined by my failures, that his mercies are made new every morning, that I am a child of God, that he loves me, he delights in me, and he satisfies me, that Jesus has already won the victory over my food struggles. I don't have to fight for victory. He's already won it. through his death and resurrection. And so when I run to him, I find peace, freedom, and joy that I will never find in food. Just having those reminders throughout my home, I was able to, again, take up the sword of the Spirit, fight the spiritual battle, and claim the victory that Jesus has already won on Calvary.
Such a good word, Asherita. It's such a great word. I'm thinking about, in Scripture it says, you know, refuse to be subject to a yoke of slavery, talking about the law, but I think it applies so well to refuse. Like even Paul said, I buffet my body, make it my slave. Otherwise, I fear that after, you know, preaching to others, I myself will fall out of the race. There is something so powerful, whether it be a partial fast, a full fast, or just the discipline of saying no to ourselves and making ourselves deal with it. That, to me, is a must if we want the kind of freedom, you know, that God has. I mean, the freedom that he has for us isn't freedom to do whatever we want. It's a freedom of fullness and wellness and and shalom, which is mind, body, spirit, fullness. How are you different now that you've been able to just put some boundaries around food so it serves you and you don't serve it?
Yeah, one of the I think mindset shifts that was so different for me is this lifestyle of surrender. Before, it used to be if I could only get myself together, if I could only be more disciplined, if I could only get the junk food out of the house, if I could only whatever the situation is, then I would be okay. But Zechariah says, you know, victory comes not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's been this journey for me. Mm. It's a journey of surrender, of saying, Lord, take my life. Take my stomach, take my mouth, my hands, my mind, my feet, my taste buds, whatever it is, Lord, I surrender them to you. Teach me what you intended when you created me this way, mind, body, spirit. Lord, this battle is yours. I can't win it on my own. I surrender to you. Teach me how to fight the spiritual battle with the tools that you've given me. And just that daily surrender, Susie, it became so much more than food. It really became about finding joy and satisfaction in Jesus.
Well, I can hear it in your voice, Asherita. I can tell. You talk, you sound like a woman who's been set free. And so I love this book. It's titled Full, Food, Jesus, and the Battle for Satisfaction. We've got 5 copies, thanks to Moody Publishers. Love those, friends. Email me if you want in on the drawing. If you got a question, love to hear it. Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about if you're caught in the cycle, what are some first steps you can take to break free? And then we'll address some more of the lies that we believe about food that we don't even realize. Again, email if you want a copy, a chance at Asherita's book, Full, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really glad you're listening because we're having a great conversation with a woman with a beautiful name and even more precious heart. Her name is Asherita Chuchu. Isn't that the coolest name? She's written the book Full, Food, Jesus, and the Battle for Satisfaction. We've been talking about food addictions and just how much Jesus wants to fill us with more of himself. And we turn to food for comfort. And food is meant to serve us, but we tend to be addicted to it to the point of we're held in captivity. And Asherita, even just one of the side effects of food addiction, specifically carb and sugar addiction, is inflammation. I mean, really, you can point to inflammation in our bodies for body aches, for neurological things, for brain fogginess, for bloated belly. I mean, there's so much that's connected to an overindulgence of sugar that's or asking our bodies to do something that they're not meant to do. But I want you to speak to that person listening today who realizes I'm caught in a food addiction. And it's a vicious cycle. And then I feel guilty and trapped and full of self-contempt. What are some first steps that I can take to break free from this cycle?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is to pray for hunger. You know, the funny cool answer is always, you know, go to Jesus and pray.
But you really mean that. Yeah.
Truly, this is a spiritual issue. If it were just physical, we would have probably figured it out by now. But there's something more going on a spiritual level. And so we begin by being honest with God and praying for that hunger the problem isn't why the problem isn't that we eat food, because God created us to eat food. The problem is why we seek fullness and satisfaction and something that can never, ever satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies. And we might know that mentally, but we must learn to hunger for him. And a lot of us have never experienced that spiritual hunger. And so we begin by asking God to stir up a holy hunger within us, and we keep praying until we see change. For me, that was the first step. I began by being honest and saying, Lord, I've been a Christian since I was a little child, and I love you, but I don't really hunger for you. So would you teach me how to hunger for you? And that's when he led me to the sugar fast. And I would say that's the next step, is prayerfully talk with the Lord about what is it in my life that I am running to. It might not be sugar. It might not be food. You know, maybe you're listening to this program and you don't have a food fixation, but there's something else in your life that you're running to instead of Jesus. And I would surrender that to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what does it look like that I find freedom and satisfaction in you instead of this thing that I'm running to, this idol? And surrender it to him, and then be obedient to what he shows you. I really believe each person's journey is so personal and so different. It's not a one-size-fits-all. But the good news is that for those of us who belong to Christ Jesus, who have received him as our Lord and Savior, his Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, is alive in us. Mm-hmm. And that Spirit will set us free from any chain that holds us captive to sin. And so we pray for hunger. We surrender our idol to him, whatever it is, through a fast or whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to. And I would also say, find a friend. You know, God created us for community, and I firmly believe that the local church is the way that he establishes his kingdom here on earth. And so get plugged into a local church. Find a buddy that you can read the book with and study scripture and say, okay, what does the Bible say about food, about fullness, about satisfaction? And how can we encourage each other to continue to find joy and satisfaction and freedom in Jesus instead of in these idols that we run to?
Hmm. Tell me this. This is so good, and I just absolutely love your heart, Asherita. When you look back, just having been on this journey now for a few years, and I love that you say that there's not a one-size-fits-all. There are just underlying causes and beliefs for all of us. What would you say, and have you identified maybe the lie that you believed when you were in bondage to sugar? Looking back, is there something that was just at work in you that is no longer there?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. Mm-hmm. I would say one that just held me captive for the longest time, and even now I have to guard against it, is I need to finish all the food on my plate. I grew up.
Because you're a good girl.
Yeah. I grew up in a clean plate club, and every day we were faced with extreme poverty, with people who couldn't afford to put food on the table for their children just down the street from us. And so finishing the food that was sitting in front of me was something that culturally was expected. And yet now as an adult, I look at my plate and maybe I overestimate how hungry I am. And I think each of us reaches that point where we realize, I'm okay now. I don't have to keep eating. And for me, it was to recognize, okay, Lord, continuing to eat is not being a life steward of either the food or my body. And it does not help those people who are hungering either. And so turning to scripture and say, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so I won't let this food in front of me hold me captive and say, I need to keep eating just because that's what I used to do. Because this body that God has given me, it's not a trash can. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I will care for my body because it is a dwelling place of God. Just that little mindset shift, day after day after day, made a huge difference. And like I said, it's something that I still need to guard against today. And what I'll do is I'll pack up the rest of it in a Tupperware or in a glass bowl, and I'll have it the next day for lunch. But that's one of the lies. The other one that, again, time and time again, haunts me still. You know, I've overcome it through the Word of God, but that doesn't mean that the enemy won't keep trying to fight. And so one of them is justice once won't hurt.
Mm.
You know, I think all of us know what we should eat and how we should eat, more or less. And there will be times when we're tempted to step over those food boundaries that we have set for ourselves and say, oh, you know, it's a special occasion. I'm just going to indulge just once. I promise I'll do better tomorrow. But Scripture tells us that we are to make no provision for the flesh, that we're not to give back a single inch of ground that we've won in Jesus Christ. That's from Romans 13:14. And so we renew our minds with Scripture. It's for freedom Christ has set us free. We're not going to get entangled in compromises. We're going to stand firm. Now, does that mean you can't enjoy a treat once in a while? Like I said, I think food is a good gift. But I also know our enemy is cunning and crafty, and he will make up excuses for us to fall again into that slavery to food. So we guard against the lies in our minds, and we fight them with scriptural truth.
Boy, we've got about a minute before it's time to pray, and you identify these different lies about food. I'd love you to speak to the person who believes this lie. I will never, ever overcome food fixation. Like, they cannot see a way out. What do you say?
You know what? That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has overcome the enemy. He has overcome Satan. He has overcome sin. He has overcome any stronghold that sets itself up against the power of Jesus Christ. And so it's coming back again to surrender when we feel that hopelessness. And it's saying, Jesus does not condemn me, so I will not condemn myself either. I will go and sin no more, like he spoke to that woman caught in adultery. Just because I messed up once doesn't mean I need to continue to sin. I died to sin, so I refuse to allow it to hold me captive.
That's so good. You know, and friend, if you're listening today and that's you, check out Isaiah 43. Spend some time there because it talks about that he's with you when the waters rise up. And a little later in the chapter, he says, see, I'm about to do a new thing. So he makes a way where there is no way. So as Sharita said, put that lie under your feet, even if it feels true, and trust God. Wondering, Asherita, if you'd pray for that person right now as we get ready to close here.
Yes, I would love to. Father, thank you that you are faithful and good, that you guard our steps in life. And I pray for every person listening right now, whatever idol it is that they are fighting, whatever they've identified in their hearts that they run to, I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower them through the blood of Jesus Christ to overcome that stronghold, to find freedom and fullness and satisfaction in Christ alone. I pray that this day would be the marker of a new beginning, that we would forget the things of the past, and that we would look forward to the things that you have for us. Thank you for your faithfulness, that you have started this good work in us, and you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Asherita, I'm really thrilled that Moody published you. Fantastic interview today, and great job on the book. Thanks for joining us today.
Susie, thank you so much for having me. God bless.
Great, great conversation. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, talking to Andy Crouch about another obsession that steals from us if we don't take some control, and it's technology. We'll be talking about the TechWise family specifically. I pray that you were encouraged today. Email me if you've got some thoughts or insights, and don't go away because another great hour is up ahead next. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.